Hello, everyone, and welcome to Asian Pacific Voices Radio, where you'll find stimulating conversations that explore diverse topics and stories impacting our Asian Pacific American communities. I'm your host, Rasha Goel, and today I am so excited to welcome a very special guest to our show. He's an accomplished American actor, a motion capture stunt performer, a voiceover actor who has graced both the silver screen and the gaming world with his remarkable performances. Best known for his role as Martin Lee, Mr. Negative in the Spider-Man video game series, his expertise in acting and his background in martial arts bring a unique depth to his characters. Stephen O. Young, welcome to Asian Pacific Voices Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me. That was a lovely introduction. When I hear that, I'm like, oh, my heart skips a beat. Thank you so much. My parents would be so proud to hear all of that. So thank you. That was awesome.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, listen, it's all your work. So I'm sure they'll be very proud. I just put the words in over there, but it's all your hard work. Speaking about parents, let's start talking a little bit about your early life. So I understand that you received training in Wushu from your father, and that got you involved in school plays from a very young age. So what aspect of, talk to me about the Wushu, and then what aspect of the acting inspired you to go into this industry since your family wasn't really from the entertainment industry?
Yeah, you're totally right. You know, my father, he was a kung fu practitioner growing up in a small island of Taiwan, right? And yeah, actually during the 70s, it was so funny. He was approached by a few, you know, Hong Kong, whatever studios at the time after Bruce Lee's passing, because they were all looking, they were scouring Asia for the next Kung Fu star. So they actually approached him and they scouted him. They wanted him to come and do screen tests. And his father told him, no, you have to be an engineer. You have to go to America and be an engineer. So in a way, I feel like I'm kind of living out his dream a little bit. And I do think that's probably part of the reason why both of my parents, my mother and my father, were so supportive of this career. So yeah, like when I was growing up, I loved Kung Fu. My father was obviously a practitioner in it. And, you know, he'd tell me all these stories and he was good at wrestling as well and judo. And he never let me learn until I was in college because he was like, I don't want you to like stunt your growth and I want you to study. But during college, I just like dove into it really hardcore. And in high school, I started doing plays because my older brother was doing plays. I just kind of got roped in because I was like a little kid at the time. But, you know, doing school plays was just so fun. You know, it's just so fun. And yeah, like why I decided to become an actor? Well, I guess I thought to myself, hey, I'm in California. Right? Like people all over the world come across, you know, the world to come to this state to try it. If I even have a small inkling of wanting to do it, I should. I never thought I would be a professional actor when I was going, you know, when I was growing up, you know, because I couldn't take the rejection or whatever. But it turns out I can take a lot of rejection because that's all this business is. And just practice.
Right?
So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, in addition to that, my parents, after I graduated from college, I thought, okay, maybe I'll go be a politician or maybe do graphic design or something because I also love to draw. I wanted to be like a comic book artist. Turns out I don't have the discipline for it. But acting, I always loved it. I always stuck with it. You know, I was just a class clown. I don't know. I just like the attention, I guess. But I always loved it. So my parents, you know, they asked me like, well, what would you do for free? And I said, just on a whim, I said, yeah, I would do acting. And at the time, you know, The Matrix came out. So acting to me was like, that meant being like the next Bruce Lee, right? Like doing kung fu, doing martial arts, doing action movies. So anything I could do to get into that. So my parents, you know, they said, you know, you want to do that for free? That's what you should probably do in your career. At least try it. So they were very lenient. They gave me like 10 years. They were like, we'll let you live at the house.
Wow.
We'll give you an allowance. We'll feed you. Right. If in 10 years you can't book one job, then it's time to go, you know, go back to school. But thankfully things worked out.
Stephen, so. That's so rare.
Super rare,
that's
right?
That's so rare, though. So yeah. I love hearing the support that you got. And, you know, as you were talking, it almost made me even feel, too, that maybe not everybody was in the entertainment industry, but it seems like there was that knack, that talent, that still that creativity within your family, right? Like it was still prevalent there with your brother, with your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, one of my father's, one of my
father itself.
Oh, for sure. One of my father's first like reports, you know, employee reports or whatever from his first engineering job was, they said, he's not the typical Oriental. I was like, nice. Because he was very gregarious, you know, he talked a lot. So yeah, this probably runs in the family.
I love that. Well, I want to come back and talk about rejection, but first I want to talk about the acting career and your extensive background as a stuntman. So you've completed nearly 24 projects since 2010. Talk to me about how the acting experience has shaped your approach to stunt work and what motivated you again to pursue both of these career paths.
Oh, wow. You know, I always feel like I cut my teeth in the business in stunts, you know, because I didn't graduate from an acting college or a conservatory. I just read books and I went to whatever classes I could go to. But literally working in like big blockbuster Hollywood movies doing stunts, I felt like I was so close. I was so close, but so far. I was literally training these A-listers or mostly getting beaten up by them, right? But I got to definitely see all the techniques and really just understand how filmmaking works. And so I'm very grateful for that experience. It's very tough. You know, when you're in stunts, everybody thinks it's pretty glamorous, but there's a lot. I just remember like one of my favorite stunt stories is I went to England to work on 47 Ronin. I was so excited to be in this movie. And I was going to be there for like 8 months, something like that. Super long time. Sounds very glamorous. The first day I arrive, we go to a big mud field. And they're like, all right, there's all these shipping containers. And they're like, all right, time to unload equipment. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I was here to do Kung Fu. Turns out I'm also doing all these other things. But I think it humbles you. And I think stunt people are definitely some of the hardest working people. You know, all the below the line people that don't get the credit, those are the ones that, those are the ones that make movies and your entertainment happen. And so I definitely learned how to be humble. I definitely learned how to work hard, be on time. I definitely had a hard time with that when I was younger, being on time. Because I thought, hey, we're actors. We're stunts. We can be late, right? And it's like, no, you got to be, especially stunts, you got to be early. I was like, oh. I learned all that. And then, definitely acting techniques. You just watch all these people, you know, and you just learn. That's where I got my stuff from.
Well, and you've been able to create this niche for yourself. So I think what's so exciting, too, is that you've actually had the unique experience of portraying characters both in the Marvel Studios and DC Entertainment. I mean, those are two really sought after universes, you know. So how does it feel to be a part of those iconic universes? And how did you approach your characters? Because I'm sure you come to it with a different feel of how can you make them stand out with your own portrayal or whatever you bring to the table, right? To make them little unique.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're totally right about the niche thing. You know, when I was coming up, I definitely had a little bit of, you know, there's the struggle where you feel like, oh, I'm not seen. I'm not mainstream, you know? And then I realized like, actually, my father told me, you know, he's like, there's only one of you. You're like a tall Asian dude that does Kung Fu and speaks English. Like, that's good. Like, just do that. And I was like, yeah, you know, because especially being Asian, a lot of us Asian actors oftentimes, you know, we kind of shy away from stereotypical roles. And then he was just like, yo, well, he didn't say yo, and that's not how he talks, but he was like, but it was like, those are people, like, just do that, you know, like, and then one day you can be you, you know, you can be known as you. So, yeah, I mean, and also to your point, every role you want to bring something, you want to make it something special, something pizzazzy, right? And so for me, I always thought, okay, my background in martial arts, that intensity that comes from that, right? I always just thought I would just bring intensity to whatever I do, whether it's comedy or drama, and also just realism. I'm always telling myself like, okay, how would a person really do this? And I study that in film and theater, like, okay, is that how a person in that situation would really be? Is that how you would feel? So those are like the touchstones that I always go back to. As far as being in Marvel and DC, yeah, I mean, it's especially as a comic book fan growing up, it's a dream come true. So, you know, heavy lies the crown. Obviously, I know there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it. I do not take it lightly.
Right.
And but look, it's just all fun. You know, they always say you're never working a day in your life when you're having fun, right? So for me,
That's true.
Yeah, it's just a great time. Even my worst day on set is better than, you know, my regular day anywhere. So I don't like to travel.
I don't like to, you know what I mean?
I like to act. And so that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Right. And you said, what was your favorite comic book growing up?
I mean, I was a huge X-Men fan and Spider-Man fan. One of my first comic books as a child was one of these like 1970s, you know, they had like a record that you would play, and it would be the, you know, vocal performance of the comic book, and it was a Spider-Man.
Oh,
comic
yeah.
Book. Yeah. Right.
I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. You can find these things on eBay, and boy, I wrote on it. I drew on it. I traced it. Yeah, I read that thing every day. It was literally about J. Jonah Jameson's son who becomes a werewolf and he has a pendant. And for whatever reason, I was like hyper-focused on this comic book. So yeah, but Jim Lee, he was my big inspiration as an artist. I wanted to be the next Jim Lee. And yeah, so I read all of his comic books.
Well, I have to say, Stephen, and there's something so beautiful about this that you grew up in the world of comics and Spider-Man being one of your favorites. How does it feel now? I mean, your recent project, Spider-Man 2,
yeah, yeah.
You've come back, Mr. Negative, yeah. Portraying this important character. What is, again, it mean to you to be able to embody that iconic character, but also to be a part of this series that you actually loved while you were growing up?
It's such a cliche, but it's really just, I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for any work, really, but especially to be in this. And Spider-Man, the video game, it really put me on the map, I think, especially on my IMDb. You know, thank you for that, Spider-Man. My score went up really high. But I like... But yeah, like before Spider-Man, you know, I was doing TV, you know, I was doing movies as stunts, right? I'll have guest star things. I'll have that. But I never did voiceover, and I was doing motion capture, but it was all stunts. And so Spider-Man really like opened the doors for voiceover and, you know, motion capture acting in video games. So now, you know, people know me, they know my name. It's wild to me. I didn't think that I would even come back for Spider-Man 2. So for them, because I thought that story was done. But it turns out that there was so much more, and they have this amazing character arc for Martin Lee. And trust me, I religiously look at comments online. And so I like to see the good and the bad. I want to know, you know, what the customers like or what they dislike. And so far, it's been overwhelmingly positive. So like I said, I'm just super grateful that they had me back and that people like it.
I love that. And I have to recognize too, Stephen, listen, we know that getting into this world in general and then being able to work with these iconic brands isn't always the easiest. So I have to say, even as I'm speaking to you, like, I feel so proud that as an Asian American artist, that you're out there representing us, because I know that it has not been easy to get to this stage, you know, like we're all in this together. And yes, I know we are at a place for diversity, inclusivity, but I think we know the reality of the challenges of it still. And to be a name, a recognized name and face in that world, it's huge. And so I wanted to acknowledge that and let you know that. I think it's very exciting.
Oh, thank you so
much. To be able to see that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And I'm hoping that that will inspire other Asian American actors too, who want to go in this line, or, you know, even younger kids who are pursuing this industry, to think about all the different facets that they have in this world. I'm going to jump to the A-list actors, because you've worked with people like Keanu Reeves and Denzel Washington and Adam Driver. So what was it like training some of these actors? And is there a particular story that you could share with us that stands out for you?
Well, there's so many stories. I remember training Adam Driver. You know, he was learning the choreo and all the fight stuff in England, but he had a couple months back in New York where he lives for prep. And so they needed a guy to come, you know, from America to help train him. And I knew some of the team. So I was just lucky enough to get that job. Yeah. So hanging out with Adam Driver was cool. I mean, we literally went to like Juilliard, where he is from, right? Like his alma mater. They gave him like a cool like dance space. And this was like, this was during Girls, like the height of it. So he was already pretty big, but he wasn't like Star Wars big. And so I, you know, I'm trying my best to be professional. But I'm geeking out every day because I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to blow up. And obviously he has. I mean, he's Adam Driver. This dude is going to win an Oscar pretty soon. So that guy was very, very cool, very professional, but very nice. You know, he's a Marine, ex-Marine, also an accomplished actor. So I was just like, wow, what a crazy journey this kid has gone on, you know? So that was very surreal. And then, you know, I've worked with Keanu Reeves a handful of times, and every time I see him, I'll be like, hey, Keanu, I'm Steven. You killed me on 47 Ronin and also John Wick. And he's always like, I know, man, nice to see you. And I'm like, you don't remember me, but he's such a nice guy that, because it's like he meets a million people every day, but he's so nice. So,
Steven, you know, yeah. Do you ever, I had to ask you real quick though, do you have to ever alter the moves when you're teaching stunts because it may be uncomfortable for the actor, or is it usually you're stuck to a particular choreography, or does it get molded when you're on set?
It's super molded, and it can change for many reasons. It can change because the actor doesn't like it, or the director doesn't like it, or it can be anything. It could be camera. It doesn't work for that. So yeah, you always have to mold it for the moment for sure. But that's, you know, part of stunts as well. You're there to service the movie, you know? And I remember coming up, there was a time where I was like, oh, these are my moves. And I would be so nerdy. I would watch the movie and be like, that was my move. And then I realized like, nobody really cares about the moves. They care about the story, you know?
Aww.
Well, but it's like, that was a good learning experience for me as well. It's like, all right, you know, it's not just about the moves. It's about the movie. It's about the characters, you know? And that was one thing that I think Denzel Washington kind of taught me, you know, not me personally. I just saw it, right? Whereas like, you know, we'd be doing some kind of really intricate thing. And then you'd be like, no, I'm just going to do this. Right. And it'd be like super simple, super to the point. But this was Equalizer, which that's the character, right? You know, the character's not going to be doing Matrix stuff. So I saw that. And then I see the finished product and I'm like, my goodness, you know, sometimes these actors, you know, whether it's Jennifer Garner or Keanu Reeves or Denzel Washington, sometimes it's just a look, I realize, you know, it's not even like a fighting move. Sometimes it's just their face.
Full on move.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, wow.
That's enough to convey.
Yeah. So I try to take a little bit of that, right, you know, in everything.
Ah, I love that. You know, I'm so fascinated by stunts because I think that would be something that I would love to try out. I've always just been so excited about it. But then it gets, so maybe I'll have to do a lesson with you, but
absolutely.
Stunts are their own superpower.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you had to pick a superpower of your own, what would Steven want his superpower to be and why?
I was thinking about this the other night and I thought, oh yeah, flight is always good, but no, I think mind control because life is so hard and it would just be a lot easier if you could just make people, you know, do what you want them to do sometimes, like especially in traffic, like please move, you know, like, and then they'll do it.
Yes, I know you have your issues with the 405, right?
Yes, right. You know, I'm a native Southern Californian, right? So that's all I talk about is traffic.
Well, that's a hot spot over here. So we definitely know how it impacts all of us as we commute in this city.
That's right.
I was talking about, you know, diversity and inclusivity earlier, and you've been in this field for a while now. How do you think that the entertainment industry has evolved when it comes to representation with Asian American talent?
Oh, you know, it kind of goes back to your point before where it's like now you see a lot of, it's just, I mean, obviously, short answer is, it's changed for the better. And there's so many more people of color and obviously different genders and backgrounds. And it's so much more diverse in all facets, not just in front of the camera, but also, like I said, below the line or producers or in production, right? Writers and directors. And it is showing through. And now, especially with the global market, right, with the popularity of South Korea. I grew up in a town called Cerritos, California, which has a very high Korean population, right? Okay.
Little India there too.
Exactly. Pioneer Boulevard. I'm with you. I'm down there every weekend. Exactly. And in my
That's our people, the Koreans and the Indians.
That's what I was saying, right? And, yes. And the Koreans in my high school would always talk about, you know, pop culture from Korea. And I just never understood, right? I was like, what? I mean, obviously we like the boy bands and stuff, but I didn't think that it would be global like it is. And obviously in the past 10 years, it has exploded, super global. So, and, you know, also with India, you know, Bollywood is huge. Yeah. I mean, wasn't Triple R had a song that was just, you know, Oscar nominated, right?
For the Natu Natu. Yep.
Right. Right. So it's like, it's so global now, which is, you know, look, it's amazing. And then there are also pressures, right? Because it's like, okay, now that means there's more people. Now that means there's more competition.
Yes, right. Right?
But that's how the art always is. Exactly. It is. But that's how art always is. And if you do it with love, then I think you're going to end up okay. But yes, long story short, it has changed for the better, for sure. There's more three-dimensional characters. There's more lead characters. Mm-hmm. We used to just be the best friends. If that. And for me personally, yeah, right? And for the quirky friend, right? And for me personally, I used to just die all the time. Literally, it would be a running joke with my friends and family. If I'm on a TV show, they'd be like, all right, so when do you die? It's like, and now lately, I've been able to say, yeah, right? And now lately, I've been able to say, I don't die in this one. Like, I actually come in and I talk and I have words and then I stay, or, right? Yeah. So it's personally, it's changed for me as well. So I have hope for the future. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm with you on that. Definitely a lot more exploration of stories and the types of stories we're telling and the people it involves. But speaking of that, then for you, Stephen, what are there any type of specific roles or genres that you would like to explore right now?
Oh, you know, I love sci-fi. So if I could be on any kind of Star Trek, you know, Star Wars, obviously. I have already worked on Star Wars many times. Thank you very much. But
okay. No.
Just a little flex. Just a little flex. No, but yeah, like I love sci-fi and I love fantasy. So any kind of like sword and sandal kind of thing would be amazing. That's kind of my jam. I think realistically, I probably see myself in like a procedural, like maybe crime dramas, which I'm very happy to do. You know, I love crime dramas for sure. You know, Godfather, things like that.
Yeah,
I always think there needs to be like an Asian Godfather. Give me one of those.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Can we please get one of those stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And but I want to play a gangster
in
it.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm
Indian female gangster.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm trying to write one right now. You know, every actor is always writing, but I'm trying to write one.
Okay.
Right
awesome. Now, so will you get that done, Stephen, and then call me. Okay.
Yes.
We will get that out there, but we're just going to manifest this for you.
Absolutely.
We're going to manifest it for you, put it out to the universe.
Let's do it. Exactly.
I definitely want to do that for you. Are there is there a specific piece of advice you could give to anybody out there who's aspiring to go in the stunt direction or in acting or in voiceover? I know they're three separate entities, but they're kind of all encompassed in the entertainment industry.
Okay. Well, if you're trying to do stunts, then pick a sport, any sport, and get really, really good at it, like super, super good. And then film yourself all the time and then put it on YouTube or all the social medias and then just meet other stunt people. And that's how you get jobs, truly, because it's such a small world. It's all based off of recommendations and it's all skill based. So you definitely need to have some kind of sport, any sport. For acting and voiceover, you just can't quit. And for stunts too, you just can't quit, even when you feel like it. Like somebody said, everybody has a turn, right? Famous actor said
that,
right? And either it happens real in the beginning or it happens later in your life, but you will get a turn. You will get an at bat. And I have found that for myself as well. Yeah.
So even when you feel rejected, I think it's great to just come back to that, right?
That's right.
You will get a turn. Just keep going.
That's right. And also, just realizing back to rejection, which will be the theme of this, is like, if you can become friends with it, if you can just realize that 99% of this job is rejection, because that's just it, right? There's not enough, or look, there's a lot of projects, but there's just a lot of people, right? And mm-hmm. we're all trying to funnel in and get this thing. But hey, what do they say? When they close one door, another window opens, right? They're always making stuff. So
yeah,
you know, you're not gonna, you know, if your hit rate is like 1 out of 10, you're a superstar. It's like baseball. You know, when they say people hit 1 out of 10, you're like, or what is it? 1 out of 3, you're like, oh my God, you're a superstar, right? So, yeah. You know, most people expect, right? They expect, oh, I need to get every one of them, or I need to get 8 out of 10. It's like, no, 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 no. If you can get half, you're like a god. If you can get a third, you're amazing, right? So if you can get 1 out of 10, you're doing great. So just keep that in perspective too. And that's for all of us.
That's some great advice, Stephen, because rejection is such a hard thing, I think, to deal with in this industry.
For sure.
And can really impact your mental health as you navigate it.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
It's really a great thing to remember. You've got such a wonderful voice. And we were talking about this before we started filming here and chatting up more about it.
That's
all right. So can you play a character for me right now, or put on some type of a voice?
Some type of
character,
voice.
Whether I'm trying to think of who can we have you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something fun.
Maybe
even
fun.
Give us a little bit of Mr. Negative if you want, or anything you want to play with.
Sure. I'll give you Martin Lee. Hi, I'm Martin Lee, and you're listening to Asian Pacific Voices Radio. Now I'll give you Mr. Negative. You're listening to Rasha Goel on Asian Pacific Voices Radio.
I love that. I need that clip, Stephen. I need just that clip.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to end up with this. It's been so much fun talking to you. I'm going to end with this last question. If you could have dinner with a historical figure, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, you guys ready to cry? Are y'all ready to cry? Here it comes. Look, good little Asian boy in me. My father. Yeah. Because he passed away like 5 years ago, something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't have dinner with no one else.
I love that.
I don't have, because that guy was the smartest guy I ever knew in my life. And I still hear his words in my head, because he loved to lecture me. He gave me the wisdom. So I would have dinner with him. Yep.
Thank you for sharing that. Such a beautiful legacy. Such a beautiful legacy. Well, it's been so much fun. Where can our viewers or listeners find you on social media? Is there a website, social media handles? Where can they connect?
My personal website, Stephen with a PH, oyoung.com. Also Instagram at Stephen O. Young. And I make it easy on X/Twitter, Mr. Stephen O. Young, MR, Mr. And yeah, check me out.
Love it. Thank you. I almost thought you said, here's my personal email. I'm like, I don't really want to be giving that out right now.
Here's
Stephen.
My phone number.
Thank you. Exactly.
I'm on Hinge too.
Again, right? Once again, I want to thank you, Stephen O. Young, for being here with us, for joining me on today's show. Also for all of our listeners, our audience, we would love to hear from you. So if you have any suggestions on future guests or questions or topics, please do reach out to us. And also don't forget to subscribe to our program on your favorite podcast platform and follow us on Facebook, Twitter/X, Instagram, and our YouTube channel. And don't forget, Asian Pacific Voices Radio is produced by Asian Culture and Media Alliance, a nonprofit that empowers the Asian Pacific American communities with a voice through media arts. If you'd like to support us or learn more about our program, please do visit us at AsianPacificVoicesRadio.com. Once again, I'm Rasha Goel. Thank you so much for joining us on a thought-provoking show. I look forward to joining you again next week for another Asian Pacific Voices Radio podcast. Thank you and have a wonderful week.